Welcome to Knotcast, episode 204, take two.
The end of the world. To get comfortable on this couch is kind of difficult.
Well, your enormous cock also gets in the way, and you have to, like, tuck it back.
I try not to talk about that too much.
Buzz takes care of that for you.
Because you know how it is.
I'll talk about everybody's cock. Shiva has her slung over the back of the couch to be out of the way.
Mine's at home in a drawer, you know.
It's always the bottoms that have the smallest cock. Or the large cock.
I heard it the other way around.
Yeah. I fucked some guys with some pretty big dicks. It's kind of hot. Because of like, this is kind of fun to play with. You ain't going to be using it on me. Okay, maybe not exactly like that. But.
So, yeah, it's been a week. I've had a kind of productive... Today's been productive.
Oh?
So, woke up, went to lunch with Panther.
Severin, tell us more!
See, I'm the only one that doesn't have to repeat herself. But you're not her.
Yeah, because, we got like 10 minutes in, and then we realized that I wasn't plugged in.
And now we're doing a redo.
So we're doing a bit a redo in the first 10 minutes.
I will try to fake interest, Severin.
I didn't get very far. You're the one that's already told all your shit, so shut your mouth. After lunch, I called up my doctor and was like, hey, what the fuck? I need my inhalers. And because I called up Walmart and was like, have they replied yet? It's been like a week. I've been trying to get my asthma inhalers refilled.
You got to stay on them, people.
And
pharmacies in general.
I finally just, I showed up at my doctor's office like, look, you know, my name is this. This is this. I have this prescription. Why hasn't this been refilled yet? Turns out I hadn't been there in 2 years and they stopped refilling because they didn't know if that was still me.
Well, couldn't they just have like told the pharmacy, hey, you need to come in?
Would have been nice.
Instead of just like dragging their heels.
They don't operate like that. They'll just reject it and they won't tell the pharmacy why. And the pharmacist, they won't bother calling you.
Yeah.
You'll call up and they'll be like, well, your doctor rejected it. And you'll be like, and you didn't think to call me?
Yeah. Ooh. Well, and what was bad is that, you know, I'm down to 5 charges on my last asthma inhaler. If I have a bad attack, I'm dead.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe 2. But still, it's one of those things. But it turns out that they were able to see me and, you know, got the usual spiel, lose weight, change your diet, which I need to do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be another one. I mean, I did do some pretty good weight loss last year. I really need to get back on the wagon.
Yeah. I think we all do. Panther's doing all right.
Speak for yourself. I'm svelte. Like a beach ball.
Yeah. But I finally got a appointment set up to see a sleep doc so I can kind of get this apnea thing so I don't die in my sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please don't die.
And the center also does, like, obesity stuff, so I can probably get that taken care of. It'll be interesting to see what the insurance will cover. But it has to wait till January anyway because they don't have openings. But it would have had to wait till January because that's when everything resets.
Yeah.
Mm.
I know when I had my sleep study, it was like a 2 or 3 week
delay. Yeah, mine's weird that it resets in June.
Yeah. But I think that there are people in this world that would prefer I not die.
Yes, we are one of them.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
2 of them. Maybe 3 if you count Panther.
I don't know. He's worth more dead.
I'm worth a decent amount dead. He could get some nice lenses. Pay off the car.
That take pictures of the... He could take pictures at your funeral.
Yeah. With the new lenses that I buy.
You know, your parents would miss you, but they'd have a really nice photograph of your casket.
Yep.
I guess. I don't know.
It'll be and it'll be just like a cardboard box duct taped together with string.
Because the rest you're not of them going into lenses.
You're not going to go my route and just be wrapped in plastic and dumped in a ditch.
I'd like to be like left in the woods, stick an acorn in my mouth.
It's like a prepared feast for bears.
Actually, that's kind of I'd rather
Panther would
do
get
that
new
than
lenses
kinda...
and maybe a Ferrari 328 gigabyte. I know, GTP.
So I'm worth lenses and a Ferrari.
And a hard drive, it sounded like?
Or No. That's the type of Ferrari.
I was messing, yeah.
He was just making things up.
Yeah. So
it's I like the Ferrari the end, of podcasters. That you added Panther.
So Panther, my loving companion of nearly 8 years, is gunning for me to kick it before I get my sleep study and that under control so I can have Ferrari.
Yay, Ferrari.
I see how it is.
So
wait till after he's diagnosed, because then it looks like natural causes.
There you go.
You're not helping.
Sorry.
Where would we record?
My place.
So there's that.
I mean, Saverin, you're totally important. Uh-huh. Yeah, the show would be lost without you.
And my sister finally found herself a car.
Yay!
Which is underneath the upper limit that we had, so we get to keep some of the money from the car settlement, too.
Jolly good.
So Thumbs up to that all around.
Yep.
So, you had an exciting day, Fuzz.
Oh,
Adventures in dentistry.
Yeah, I was eating breakfast at work, and one of my crowns popped out. And I just suddenly felt this, like, sensitivity. And then I chewed a little bit, and then I felt something really
hard,
solid and hard in my mouth. And I was like, oh, shit. And I worked it out, separated it from my food, and there's my crown. Thank goodness didn't damage it, because they're like $400 or $500.
Yeah.
You know? And actually, I used up my insurance for this year. So, yeah, it would happen mid-December. But luckily, it wasn't damaged. I went to my dentist, and they numbed me up, and they glued it back in, cemented it back in place. So I wasn't sure if I'd be recording tonight, because, yeah, up until like an hour ago, half my face was numb, and half my tongue was numb, too. So.
You would have sounded really amazing.
Yeah, I was like, I'm the scat man. That's about how I sounded. Yeah, balls in the mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where it's like, wow, you know, what are our amazing exciting adventures this week? Healthcare. Welcome to middle age, kids.
Speaking of healthcare, I've had an exciting healthcare week. So, last Sunday, Siam, I woke up late and I'm getting up and I'm hearing Siam cough out in the main room. It's like, that's not a good sign. And I just woke up next to him as opposed to sleeping in Sarah's room. And I'm like, oh, crap, I think he's sick, and I just slept next to him. Mm. So I get up, and I walk out, and he looks like death warmed over. Well, we think it's a cold. He goes to work on Monday, ends up kind of drifting, passing out at his desk, getting sent home. Second day this happens, and he ends up going to a clinic. Turns out he has the flu. Not just a cold, and we're calling it the flu, actual influenza. So it's all, well, crap.
Oh, it's a good thing he's not a bird.
He's in training for his new job, and the thing is with this job, you can't miss any time during training, or else you get
most jobs are like that.
Yeah, or else you get put on final warning. Well, he's like 3 weeks into training, or 2 weeks, I forget. So we're like, well, crap. First day he got a pass on it, and he got sent home. Second day he also got sent home, so basically okayed to leave, and we're still kind of worried at this point. Well, the second day, two other people were out. Third day, half the class was out. Basically, the flu has run through his training class and knocked out half of it. So they just, the directors kind of made a executive okay to, we don't want to lose the entire training class. Y'all are actually legitimately sick. Take the rest of the week off if you need it. Get well. Well, coming up, I have a trip out to my dad's next week. I had Cookie Geddon coming up, and I have no more time off this year. I really can't afford to be sick. Sarah is in the same boat. So we have been, both me and Sarah got flu shots this year, so we're at least partly covered. So this week we've been kind of doing like the cross fingers at Dave's. We've been only coming home pretty much long enough to scoot through the living room and hide in the other bedroom and trying to keep as far away from Siam as possible.
Did you erect, like, plastic sheeting around him to protect yourself from the deadly Bataba virus?
It's been pretty much, you know, completely avoid Siam all week long because normally, once when one of the partners gets sick, I'll just sleep with the other one. But I won't completely avoid the other one. Like, I'll take moderate precautions, like extra hand washing. But I'll still, like, be in the same room.
But this time, love is over. He's all on his own.
That's basically it. I mean,
he's in the other room screaming, Stella!
It's at this point, I can't afford to miss any time at work. And I don't want to risk the trip out to see my parents for the first time in 2 years. Mm-hmm. So it's been, like he said, the bubonic plague. I've been completely avoiding him.
Well, at least you haven't nailed him up in your room. Just boarded up the room and left him to his own devices.
So it's been, he's had a really rough time of it, though.
Remember, aim for the head. That's the only way to knock out influenza.
Hey! No, that's my alarm of, hey, dumbass, take your pills.
Take your pills.
I have it turned off for Fridays, but we're recording on Thursday.
Yeah.
Take your pills, pillhead.
But you're going to take some snorts of weed, huh?
So, as a result, we've had to...
you got to shoot up some cocaine.
Well, the doctor, he came down last Sunday, and the influenza infectious period is one day before that and 5 to 7 days after.
Flying high on stool softeners.
So I'm looking at the, it's like, shit, he's going to be infectious through Cookiegeddon. I can't afford to give this to my friends for Christmas.
Yeah.
So I canceled Cookiegeddon initially. Then Kia Foxtrot said, basically, you can come bake at my house. So I'm basically going to be packing up all my stuff, sanitizing it, and taking it over there.
That's my line. You can come bake at my house.
Need to.
By my house, I mean my pants. And by bake, I mean suck my cock.
I'm just shaking my head at you.
So, I have really bad pickup lines.
Yeah.
No wonder I have so many confused-looking people just walk away from me shaking their heads.
So, Cookiegeddon was canceled. It has since been salvaged, just moved. And I probably am not going to be as ambitious as I normally would be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also kind of about inviting people over to Keo's house without him doing the inviting. So it's like, okay. So I'll be going over to Keo's house on Saturday morning and baking lots and lots of cookies.
About to provide him a list, and he'll be like, yes, 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 bitch, bitch, drama queen, yes, 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 and fuck that person. Hell no. Yes.
So, I'm going to, at least, I've been paranoid. I'm waiting for, is that a sniffle? Is that a scratch in my throat? I hope I'm not coming down sick. You know, just that whole paranoid thing, because I have a horrible history of getting a cold over Christmas.
Yeah.
And you'll be out seeing family, so you'll be plague your cat.
I don't know what it is. Most years, coming into Christmas, I have a cold.
Yeah.
It's thrown off my Christmas dinner so many times because I have been knocked out and can't taste a damn thing.
Well, Wait a minute. We all went to your place to watch Doctor Who last year.
Last year was unusual. Last year, actually, I was healthy all the way through, and I actually managed to cook Christmas dinner on time.
That's okay. Good. I know where I'm going to be for the end of the world, though. December 21st. Ooh, I'll be out Roman nose.
Oh, that's right.
Wait, yeah. What? Why are you going up to Romano's?
It was Panzer's idea.
Oh, I remember talking about this. Okay. Yeah.
So we're going to go get a cabin up there.
Sweet.
So if the world ends, we'll be there, but you won't care because the world will be ended.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Is the 21st like solstice or something?
It's the solstice, usually. It wobbles around the date because the lunar calendar and all that.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember if it was the solstice again this year.
But it's also the end of the world.
I know. I just wasn't sure.
Because it totally didn't end at 12-12-12 on 12-12. Because this is the 13th.
Right.
Unless we all died and we didn't know it.
Well,
this would all be lost.
This would be a pretty bad afterlife,
this
honestly.
This is purgatory.
Yeah, this would be a kind of shitty afterlife.
It's like, an endless podcast.
I'm still fat. I'm still suspicious. I'm still diabetic. This is a crappy afterlife.
What a shitty afterlife. Okay, so I think we're good with that. I come forth bearing an offering. An offering to make you possibly feel better about yourself. An offering that will name no names. And will nevertheless bring eternal shame onto someone.
Oh, and also, yes, it is 21st is this year, is the solstice.
Yeah. So, regarding Twilight Sparkle.
Oh, God.
Dear Name Redacted, this may be the strangest message you'll ever receive, but I do hope you'll take the time to read it and consider what I have to say. To put it simply, I would really appreciate it if the next time your birthday comes around, you would request that your clop artist friends, who like to give you sexually oriented pony art as gifts, draw some pony other than Twilight Sparkle for you. The reason I ask this is that Twilight is my fiancé. And we're planning on getting married next June or July, should everything go as planned, financially speaking. And yes, I have actually found a wedding chapel that would let me marry someone that most people would consider a fictional character. Now, before you go thinking, this guy is either completely crazy or just screwing with me, please hear me out. You see, I'm totally head over heels in love with Twilight Sparkle. I have been for about 11 months now, and at this point I'm in a committed relationship with my Twily. By that I mean I don't date anyone else, I don't sleep with anyone else, and I have zero interest in having any kind of relationship with anyone other than the mare I adore. I love her with all my heart, and I'm 100% committed to that love. To express my love in a real tangible way, I have a beautiful handmade custom Twilight Sparkle plush that I can hug, kiss, cuddle up in bed and go to sleep at the night, and take out on the town and do all the fun things together that normal couples do.
I wonder if you installed one of the bad dragon bear toys.
I take her out to eat at nice vegetarian restaurants. We go shopping together. I take her out for coffee. We do social activities like hanging out with friends, seeing movies, etc. And I talk about her as if she is Twilight, because to me she is very much so. When I look at her, I see Twilight Sparkle. When I talk with her, I'm talking to Twilight. When I hold her in my arms and kiss her, there is no doubt in my mind that the mare I love, whose lips are pressed against mine, and every morning when I open my eyes and see her head on the pillow next to mine, with her gorgeous violet eyes staring back at me, I can't help but wonder how I ever got to be so lucky as to have a partner as smart, funny, beautiful, and all around wonderful as her. Should I stop? Is this too much?
No, keep going.
No, this is hilarious.
All my friends and the people who know me will say that I love... My love is a thing of beauty and quite admirable, but from the outside perspective of someone who doesn't know me, you're probably going, wow, that's pretty damn crazy, and wondering why right. I don't go get a real girlfriend. The truth is I've had plenty of real relationships and sexual partners in the 27 years I've been around. A few short relationships, one that lasted 7 years, and a total of 6 different sexual partners. So my love for Twilight isn't out of lack of a real-world intimacy or relationships. I just fell in love with her, and my heart didn't give me much of a choice in the matter. But you know what? I'm totally happy with my love and my relationship. It may seem weird to you, but it fills me with joy every single day of my life, and I've never been happier. So what if it's weird? If it makes me happy and doesn't hurt anyone, then what's the problem? I don't think there is one, and anyone who knows me well will tell you the same. Now, you're probably wondering why I'm telling you all this and how it concerns you. To you, I'm sure Twilight Sparkle is just a cartoon character you think is hot. So I imagine you wouldn't think anything of having your friends draw sexually explicit art of her as a birthday gift to you. And hey, I think she's really attractive too, so I get where you're coming from. I often go on E621 and Roll 34 and see what new erotic art people have drawn of her. But to me, she's more than a cartoon character who's sexually attractive. She's my fiancée, who I love with all my heart, and soon to be my wife. So it's been bothering me lately every time I go to the sites and see dozens or so pieces of art from people who have drawn depicting my girl in various sexual situations with the same person over and over. And that person happens to be you.
I challenge you to a duel. Fisticuffs.
Don't get me wrong here, though. This isn't a jealousy thing. I'm very secure in my relationship. I know without question that Twilight is just as faithful to me as I am to her, and she actually sitting on the couch next to me reading while I type this. She's real to me, and I know she's not sneaking out in the middle of the night to go have kinky sex with some famous artist. And I do respect her talent as an artist, and as an artist, creative freedom to draw whatever they want. That's cool. What bothers me is that
in all these birthday images you've been getting, Twilight is always depicted as if she was your sexual plaything, drawn wearing a collar with your name on it, with a speech bubble saying something that would somehow suggest she was your property. And I know quite well that Twilight Sparkle is not your plaything nor your property. She is my fiancé. So that bugs me a bit. What I find really loathsome, though, is your penchant for degrading my partner in both your art and the fan art you've been receiving lately. Twilight is sweet and a fairly vanilla little mare who I treat with the utmost love and respect. And she definitely does not deserve to be portrayed as some sort of sexual slave who likes to be dressed up in sleazy attire, wearing a collar, getting sodomized, and having her face ejaculated upon. She's not into that kind of stuff, and the fact that there is someone out there in the world, such as yourself, who would desire to treat Twilight that way, and have his friend support and validate his desires to demean and mistreat my partner by just drawing pictures of him doing so, really does bother me. I don't take any issue with people having kinky sex as long as both parties consent to it and enjoy it, but I know quite well that my Twilight has no desire whatsoever to be treated like that. So next year, when your birthday comes around, keep in mind that Twilight Sparkle isn't just a lifeless cartoon character to objectify your sexual gratification. She is the partner of someone who loves her very much, and by that time, their wife. So for both myself and Twilight, we'd greatly appreciate if you would pick someone else to request erotic art for your birthday. Based on the very large amount of different ponies you draw art of, I imagine there has to be many other ponies you find sexually attractive. I assume you'll probably just dismiss this message as the ramblings of a crazy person and likely ignore it. But if by some chance you do take what I've had to say to heart, well, we'd appreciate it. Regards.
Flame Falcon.
Redacted.
That's just special.
That's one word for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see people being in their own world, little world, but... Wow. That's pretty much it.
So,
dear Nutcast, people are drawing pictures of my fictional cartoon wife on the internet. How do I stop?
So, there's that.
That was special. Thank you for the dramatic reading there, Severn.
I aim to please.
That's... Wow.
So we've still got... I can't
really think of any way to put that. Dolphin abuse.
Yeah. Still got like it's eight already emails.
Sagging.
It is sagging, yes.
Little blue pill.
But that popped up and I'm just like...
Wow.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Not sure if trolling or really crazy.
Not trolling or just crazy.
It's a fine line sometime between trolling and crazy.
Mm. In either way...
Yeah.
We're all finding it very amusing.
If nothing else, it is very...
If you have an imaginary waifu who you make a plush of to serve as their avatar in the real world, don't write into the show. But wow. My Sally Acorn is made with real human skeleton. My gadget has bones made of wood and children. So, anyways...
I found a real mouse, and I named it Gadget, and then it died, so I sewed it into this plushie.
Ew! Ah, that's creepy.
And that wasn't?
Sewing a dead mouse into a plushie.
That's where the name Dead Mouse came from.
Totally. If there's dead mice inside the hat, always, they stare at him, and he stares back. So, that's pretty special. And now that we've started this week off, and this last show of 2012, off with a bang, which may or may not be the person writing that letter after they realize that so much Rule 34 is out there. Oh my God.
It's like, I enjoy looking at Rule 34 of my wife, but don't make any more.
Well, as long as she's not being sodomized and her face ejaculated upon.
It's fine. It's okay to have vanilla.
So if you're of his vanilla
waifu.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I got a kick out of John Kaseko's drawing of Twilight punishing Trixie.
Yeah.
It's like, no, use the paddle on my something bottom. I don't remember what it was. It amused me because it tied into my kink, and I was like, that's funny.
I can fap to that.
No, I did not fap to it. I just thought it was amusing because Trixie totally strikes me as a pony that would be into being paddled.
Paddle my ass.
So
paddle me like a canoe.
So now that I've read,
wow, if a bottom ever says that to me, I don't know how I'll react. I'm going to go jump out the window.
Paddle me like a canoe.
So
jeez, yeah.
Read.
I'm going to read an email this time. Out of them. Not from somebody talking about their purple horse waifu. Subject: End of the World. Hello again, Notcasters. It's Branth the Dragon, ready for the good times. Yeah, ready for the end of the world with a 6-pack of 2012 Black Ale in one hand and a rifle in the other. Good times. Anyways, since you're talking about apocalypse scenarios, doomsday, and the like, I thought I'd bring up the topic of prepping. For those of you unfamiliar with the idea, preppers are folks...
this is when people douche out before anal sex, right?
Yes.
Okay.
As well as people who set aside supplies and make preparations for emergencies that might leave them without food, water, or power for a length of time. Usually this means preparing for the apocalypse, but incidentally, preparing for a zombie apocalypse is a great way to prepare for a hurricane, tornado, or a natural disaster. Personally, I have enough water for a couple of days, along with non-perishable food like canned goods, pasta, powdered milk, instant potatoes set aside, as well as a backpack that has some basic camping equipment, a water filter, some rope, emergency batteries, and a first aid kit.
Emergency blankets.
Emergency.
Yep. Within a year or so, I hope to have enough supplies on hand to last a month or so as well as a fully stocked bug-out bag with enough supplies and gear in it that I could travel for at least 3 days on foot. I find it fun to think about it, and it's pretty easy to get started. Just pick up a few inexpensive items every time you go shopping and set them aside. As it stands, I could probably survive several weeks without needing food, assuming I could find water to purify with my filter. One thing that surprises me sometimes is how grossly unprepared for emergency a lot of people are. After Hurricane Sandy, it seems like it was the very next day people were out on the street, out of food, water, gas, and other necessities. The truth of the matter is, when the chips are down, the only person you can always count on to be there and willing to help is yourself. Even loving family members may be out of town or unavailable to help. As I say on some other podcasts listen to, you are your own first responder. Do any of you make conscious efforts to keep supplies on hand in the event of an emergency? It could be as simple as not letting your gas tank go below half full or keeping some cash stashed away if you need it. If you have the time, money, or inclination to build a fallout bunker in their backyard, but a surprising number of people have a box or two of candy goods in the basement, some flashlights, and a radio, just in case. See you on the other side. Branth.
I have a 6-pack of Twinks in storage.
We keep some canned goods on hand, bottles of water. You know, it's camping supplies that we use when we go camping for or go out to events, but it's useful to have around. So, like, canned goods that don't go bad. Pop-Tarts are eternal. Water.
Twinkies were eternal, but they are no more.
Yeah, they're not making any more. I keep a small supply of canned goods. I do cycle through some periodically. Now keep in mind your degree of emergency. If you're talking like about no power.
If it's a zombie apocalypse with fast zombies, I'm dead.
Yeah, I don't have a gun. But I don't know. I keep a stock of, usually my freezer is kept pretty full. So if it's without power, I'll be in trouble. But at least as far as a financial emergency, I'm at least in a situation where I could eat comfortably out of my freezer with very little, padding for about a month or so. The other thing is that when you are doing the whole prepping for disaster and building up a store, you have to, it's not just a one-time deal. You have to buy the stores, keep an eye on their expiration dates, and then cycle through them. So you might buy them, but you're going to have to know when they expire so that you eat them and replace them. You can't just buy them, stick them in the closet, and come back to them 10 years from now.
This 10-gallon bucket of dried eggs.
Yeah, no, there are some things that will be good for a very long time. But there's some things that do expire, you know. So keep an eye on it. I've just learned people of like, I've got this store, and you go and you look at it, it's like, this expired 3 years ago. you know.
Yeah.
You know, a good prepper would keep their shit up to date.
Yeah.
Bear in mind. I think it's reasonable. I think it's a smart for any person to have a cache of goods in case of emergency. You can go a day or two cut off. Do I think guys like building bomb shelters in their basements and planning for end of the world scenarios with them gloriously shooting it out with the U.S. government? Not so much.
See, I don't know about bomb shelter. I wish Texas's soil was a little bit more stable because I actually would kind of like a tornado shelter. It just,
you can totally put a tornado shelter. They're just really super weighted things.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, but the soil tends to migrate. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
So it's not as practical as it is in other states.
Remember, you don't want to shoot a zombie if you can avoid it, because the sound of a gunshot will bring walkers for miles. So what you want to do is try to like kill them with an arrow or a hatchet in the head or something like that.
Yep.
Are you wearing Walking Dead or something?
Yeah, I've watched all of it.
I haven't seen more than one or two episodes.
It's pretty good. This season, the characters have all gotten a case of dumb. They've all decided to react to everything like an asshole. You know, when somebody unknown to them approaches or whatever, even if they kind of have their hands out in a non-threatening manner, the main character's reaction is to whip out his gun, stick it in their face, and be like, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" And it just puts everybody on fucking edge. And
so
it's
there like a habit of like people being like, you know, dangerous in that world, or do you mostly have to worry about zombies?
You gotta worry about armed gangs of survivors.
It's more about the other humans that you have to worry about now, because the zombies don't think. They're fairly slow, shambling, and like dozens of zombies get killed every episode. But you really have to worry about the other shitty humans, because everyone is sort of scrambling to get to a safe place, to get supplies, to get by and everything like that. So like other groups will try to take over people's encampments and shit like that, and people let some. It's a lot like Survivors, like especially the remake of Survivors that came out a couple of years ago, British show. You know, where you have some types that just think that they need to be in charge and do things their way, and it gets about controlling people, but it's also about killing people and doing shady shit on the side. And yeah, it really comes down to, it's like a lot of shows that it's kind of very negative view of humanity, and that when the chips are down, people will fuck over and kill each other. And like my mate totally doesn't enjoy a show like that, because he doesn't think that would actually happen. Zombie apocalypse or otherwise, just any kind of situation that he doesn't think humanity would turn on each other as quickly as that. I'm not sure where I stand on it. I mean, I guess this is looking a little bit beyond just the story of the zombies in this case.
Yeah.
But a lot of shows like this use zombies, viral outbreak, alien invasion, apocalypse, whatever, as just sort of a trope and to tell in the background.
Something's happened.
Yeah, the framework to tell the story of these human characters and how they're reacting to it. And this season, they're all reacting to it by being assholes to each other.
Yeah.
Which is getting a little bit frustrating. It's a show like I had high hopes for it in season one, and by season three, it's getting a little bit frustrating.
See, I'd actually heard good things about season three, about it getting back on track, but I haven't watched it. I'm not super into zombies. They're okay, but it's not really my monster of choice.
It's weird. Like, I don't follow the zombie shit obsessively, but when I just want to kind of zone out and watch something, I'll put a zombie movie on. I'll put one of the Romero of the Dead films or something like that, and just watch bitches fight their way out of a zombified shopping mall.
See, the only zombie movie I really, really have got into is Zombieland, and that was more of a comedy kind of thing.
Yeah, that kind of had fun with the genre. 28 Days Later is good.
Well, 28 Days Later, I don't really, it doesn't quite, okay, there's a disease that goes through, turns people into beasts, but it's not quite zombie.
It's not zombie in the Romero kind of definition of
they're
it.
They're fast zombies.
They're basically mindless beasts.
If I recall correctly, the disease amped up their rage.
Yeah.
So that they're just creatures of rage at that point. And
yeah, so they get turned into mindless rage monsters, not quite zombies. Zombies to me are shambling, dead, animated corpses.
They kind of called it a zombie movie, but
well, zombie as far as mindless, but they're not dead, you know.
So. Yeah, and that's like the Left 4 Dead in that game. Everyone's a fast zombie, which kind of like. But then again, if they were the slow zombies, you know, you'd have four heavily armed dudes just mowing down loads of zombies before they could even get close.
So I don't mind fast zombies, but it's just that the whole 28 days later, they weren't actually dead. Yeah. So that's where they don't come across as...
And like Resident Evil, they're not technically zombies either.
They're more
either.
Like mutants.
That's the T-virus mutated, but it's still...
But they're still animated corpses, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. It still has a very zombie movie feel to it, the Resident Evil films. I haven't even seen the last one
yet. Also, when it comes to zombie movies, they kind of got to be like...
Yeah.
Rotting and like jaws off and falling apart, you know.
Yeah, at least the advantage of the Resident Evil movies as no brain movies, at least there's a hot chick in it.
Yeah,
two in some cases.
Her very own clone.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking that. I was just thinking like there's like the dark haired girl in the first one, Rain, I think her name is, and
it's Mila Jovovich and her army of clones in like the last film.
Yeah. Yeah, so. That's kind of odd. Was that? I think that was the one before last. I haven't seen.
Oh, I don't know. I saw like one of them, and it was like,
The first one's really good. I haven't seen the latest one though. It's Resident Evil, suck my cock a bit. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
yeah. There we go.
So zombie movies, yay!
Yeah, preppers, zombie movies.
So interesting how that. Well, I guess this is supposed to be our end of the world episode.
So it's on tangent.
Yep.
So I'll go next. Let's see.
So this one's from the 9th. So Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Bottom up.
Yeah. Hello, Notcast. Valak the Red Fox here. I'm a longtime listener, first-time emailer to your Marvel show, and I have to have a few questions for y'all's asses. Well, I'm a... Blank.
I am a Canadian of age.
I'm a homosexual Canadian of age. And my boyfriend is FTM, transgendered female, to make any listener who doesn't know. He has been many firsts for me, from first boyfriend to first kiss. I think it means, I guess, kind of.
Yeah. What?
Okay, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, huh? I had to parse the first sentence. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
He's basically saying female to male, transgendered.
Yes,
yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, he's been from first boyfriend to first kiss. Then over this Christmas break, the one I to take my V card with the help of his present, which is a Vaculock universal strap-on along with a few dildos for him to give right back to me. Currently, we are in a long-distance relationship, but we text all the time, call occasionally, and I save up to be able to see him every so often. As he has very little money at home and he is trying to save up to get his name changed, I arranged for him to get tickets to come down for almost the entire Christmas break. Anyway, I want to be prepared for when the time comes. What would you suggest for the bottom to do to prepare? I know about trying to clean out with warm water, but are there any other suggestions? Okay, so he's going to be losing his V-card to his boyfriend. So he wants tips for first times. On to my second question. I think it means boyfriend. But he left out the word. My boyfriend means a lot to me, and he makes me feel so special all the time. Now, he's also poly. I've known this from before he asked me to be his boyfriend. So here's the situation, which I know some people will be... I can't fucking talk tonight. Which I know some people out there will be thinking I'm the luckiest fox in the world because of this. However, I'm usually shy, nervous, and submissive type, so I'm hesitant to initiate things without a prompt from him, as he is poly. He likes the idea of having two boyfriends and wants to have a relationship triangle. He wants to have the other person both be our boyfriends as well, and preferably be at least switch or dom. That way they could both work me over at the same time. I'm the sub of a relationship, and being a fox, the idea of having fox filling threesomes... That's not me screwing up. That's what he wrote. Mm-hmm. I think it's three times...
Threesomes! Wait, why fox... are we doing math? Why is there math?
The idea of having fox filling threesomes every night is just awesome. My boyfriend wants to pick the person who would be the second boyfriend for us. He wants to also make sure that we all get along well and will treat me right. I'm completely fine with him having a second boyfriend, and I hope to have a second boyfriend, but I'm nervous about it. I just don't know if I could love the second boyfriend as much. This won't be taking effect right now, but most likely we will be living together in a year or so when I move out for university. If you could offer any advice to someone who's just getting into polygamy, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you very much for taking the time to read this, and I'm terribly sorry for its length. Keep up stuffing the foxes and casting the knots. Knotting the cast. Whatever. You're a fabulously foxy fan, Valak.
So he's got a couple of questions on that one.
So preparing to lose his V-card and handling Polly.
Well,
you take the first, I'll take the second.
Don't try to take both cocks at once.
Yeah. I've seen pictures.
Don't do it.
I mean...
Oh, you've seen DP pictures?
Yeah, with dudes in like real life. It's like, whoa.
They're kind of hot.
Still.
So you do the prepping for V.
Prepping for V card. Well, hopefully you have a toy or something at home to basically practice with.
Practice makes perfect.
Practice makes perfect, and practice makes you more used to it.
And practice makes you familiar with your own body.
And your limits thereof. Worst case, you know, carrots are cheap.
Cucumbers.
Just don't lose it up there. That would be bad.
You know, and if you do, keep trying, and at the end of the week, you can shit a whole fruit salad.
I was going to say, you could get a carrot, cut it out around the tip a bit, and you have a bit of like a plug in terms of size gradation.
Mm.
Mm.
Anyways,
I don't know how safe that is, so I want to agree and disagree.
Go to the county fair and get the world's biggest carrot.
Well, I'm just saying that you should probably have a toy, have something to kind of get used to, because if you're coming into this, I would say with a clean slate or with a completely taut asshole, you should.
I stuffed birds in my ass because I'm a fit kin of Birdo.
What? But go into a situation knowing that, you know,
go slow.
Understand that your first time is going to be a little awkward, a little strange because you're with somebody for the first time.
They're probably first time. I don't know.
Probably their first time. Also, you know, it's a first time, so things aren't going to be this awesome romantic. You know, they press their cock against your butt and then magic happens. Yeah. You know, it'll be a learning experience. So, you know, the choirs may not sing, but you might, you know, cry out.
It's not fun.
Yeah. So just,
you know, take it easy.
Douche, take it easy.
Go into it with an open mind of exploring, not necessarily that the angels are going to sing from on high.
So dial down the expectations and you'll probably be in a better spot. As for the polyandry here.
Big tip on poly. Poly is like any other relationship. Finding a third, fourth, fifth, or whatever, you have about as much luck as you finding your first. There's got to be chemistry. You got to click. You can go out looking for number three for years and nothing will come of it. Like, I looked for female partners for quite a few years and nothing ever clicked. So I kept finding, male partners. So.
I'm telling them to tuck it back.
It's not quite the same thing, dear.
Here's a question to puzzle your head.
Mm-hmm.
Is it polyandry if the central figure is female to male trans?
Yes, because
poly just means how many people are in the relationship, well, right?
Polyandry is multiple husbands. And polygamy is multiple wives.
It would be polyandry, regardless.
Polyamory is just multiple partners.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the technical term is polyamory, but there's polyandry and polygamy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And
bubble pipe.
Yes.
So whether or not it really depends on who your partner finds. If he finds a boyfriend that you fall in love with, it happens. I mean, sometimes things click and you'll have a nice little triangle. Sometimes you'll end up having a V. Sometimes you'll end up having a V where you and occasionally the other partner bang. I mean, and sometimes the V never closes at all.
We bang.
I mean, it's pretty much you're going to have to approach whoever your partner finds with open mind and realize that you may end up being this third person's boyfriend. You may end up just being their friend. But you have to establish your own relationship with him independent of their relationship. You have to be able to be this person's friend, not because they're your partner's boyfriend, but because there's genuine attraction. And it might not gel. It might gel. You know, I mean, my prior relationship was a V where the guys were just the friends. And again, my current V is they're just friends. And that's about it. It comes from one of my partners being straight. But it comes down to sometimes things won't click. And so long as you can be friendly, so long as you can be cordial and enjoy this other person's company, it means that you can live with them. It just might not be a triangle.
Siam could just close his eyes. I mean, a mouth is a mouth.
He says no, it doesn't count that way.
Damn it. let me make your life all bisexual up in here.
It would be so much easier if Siam was bisexual, but no. Not for my lack of trying for years and years and going, are you sure? Are you sure you don't like cock just a little bit? He's like, no.
Not even just a tip?
Not even just
a tip. How about some balls in your mouth?
No. No, he's like, no. Are you sure? No.
You're not sure? God damn it.
It's just been a very flat no. Jeez. I said, it's not for many years of, yeah. Oh, well.
Believe it or not, Shiva, some people really are straight.
I know. But honestly, as a bi person, it's really hard for me to understand somebody who's completely bi and completely straight. Completely gay and completely straight. Because it's just, my brain just goes, never, not ever. I mean, but you know, I don't know.
There's like, I'm mostly gay. I mostly prefer guys. But I do find too many women and too many sexual pictures attractive to just say that I'm completely gay and be fine with that. Because I think that would be being dishonest with myself if I said that part of my sexuality just didn't exist.
So what if it kind of boils down to you just kind of fuck whoever's wanting to play? Does that just make you a whore?
Yes.
Bit of a slut.
But no, I think it just makes you...
Not like that's a bad thing.
Slut, in a good word. Slut.
Like, I'm not attracted to everybody.
Yeah.
There's like, I have a certain guy type that I like and a certain girl type that I like. And, you know, so whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And I kind of I've got a really, really broad type. And when it comes down to people that will play, if they don't, like, squick me personality-wise, I'm not, I don't have any real issues with it. But I've got certain male and female types where it's like, ooh, yes, that right there.
Yeah.
But I've got a lot broader who would be okay to just play with, but not something I would pursue, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Let's see, one is...
Well, it's actually my turn. Yep. You went first, then Shiva. So.
I know, I'm just looking at the remaining emails.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to go ahead and read, what do we got here?
One from Naray.
You can read this one. It's telling a story, and I'm not gonna... You use your sexy voice narration instead. Okay, I'm gonna read this one from Luke Silvertail. Happy holidays. Dear professional podcasters of the Knot, hope you are all having fun this holiday season, and since this is the podcast before your Christmas break, I wanted to wish you all a Merry Christmas, Happy Winter Solstice, or whatever holiday you all celebrate. I hope it is a great time for you all. Now, my question to spur on some discussion is, how do you see the world ending? I personally am beginning to think that it will either be robots, example, super smart AI tries to destroy all of humanity, or any ever-popular zombies, example, bioweapons gone awry. I hope. And I like how I spelled that. R-Y-E. Yeah.
Attack of the biological crops.
this bread is killer.
Oh, God. It'd be like Day of the Triffids. I hope this finds you well and that you and your families have a great time this holiday season. Sincerely, Luke Silvertail. Well, thank you very much. And how do you see the world ending?
Grey goo.
With a bang, not a whimper.
Yeah, grey goo is a possibility. I think it's probably going to be a mix of biological, probably warfare and deterioration in the environment. Yeah, we'll end up poisoning a lot of our resources. Things will become really unpleasant. Biological things will either get loose or be set loose and make, you know, life really unpleasant. And it'll be kind of a slow slide into misery.
All the methane trapped in the Siberian permafrost starts venting out.
So
it's gray goo.
Gray goo is the concept of a nanomachine that can self-replicate using whatever is on hand,
and it tears apart pretty much anything it comes across. It just deconstructs you. Like the
molecular level.
Yeah, okay. And that builds more of it out of you. So it just kind of eats and dissolves everything.
Leaving a uniform sort of gray goo.
Which is nanobots.
Kind of don't see that happening.
Well, it's a popular science fiction thing.
Yeah.
But it could also be a virus. Mm-hmm. The end result is everybody dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our technology remains for aliens to find.
And then they'll be like, boy, these people were really stupid.
They're like, wow.
Here's another question, though. It's great. Do you guys think it'll happen within our lifetimes?
Probably not.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think if things if things keep going the way they were, and we don't get a handle on some of the stuff, I think maybe towards the end of our lives things will start getting really kind of unpleasant.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it'll be, end of civilization. See, that's just end of the world is one thing. The planet's still going to be around. It's the end of the human civilization.
Yeah.
Slightly different. I mean, we might poison our planet, kill all the animals, and everything else, but there's probably going to be bacteria somewhere, and the planet will keep shuttling on.
Well, yeah. The planet will have a very different ecosystem, but other shit will evolve to live in that can live in what we would consider poison sea and gray goo on the land and stuff like that, and something else will pop up instead,
Yeah.
The dinosaurs will reconstitute from the oil and retake the Earth.
They're like, man.
They'll be like the T-1000. They'll just sort of gloop back together.
And some of them will gloop back, parts missing. God damn it, I must have been burned in a Toyota.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, so that was special. But end of the world, probably not. But I'm going to have an orgy just in case.
Orgies are fun.
You go to fuck your way to the end of the world.
Mess.
Okay, so the guy from last week that we replied to and clarified replied again.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just a really...
I think this was... He wrote that before we released the last episode, so I think he's probably gotten his clarification.
Yeah, I think we can just... Then.
I think we can safely...
archive that.
So... we'll read this, and then we go to our suitably Christmassy music break this week.
Oh, okay.
Greetings and Merry Christmas, Notcast. I found this adaptation of Twas the Night Before Christmas online somewhere and was pretty amused by it. I wanted to forward this to you for your last episode of the year to read on air, should you see fit. It even has furries in it. Yay! So without further ado, have a great rest of the year, end of times, or whatever you wish to celebrate. Nare Mooncat. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the manse, not a subby was stirring, they hadn't a chance. Some girls up on crosses, some crossies in stocks, and a few lucky boys strung up by their cocks. The masses were snuggled, all snug in vac beds, while visions of mistresses danced in their heads. And my submissive in lace and me in my kilt had wrapped all the pressies in ribbons and gilt. When out on the lawn there arose such a ruckus, it drowned out the chorus of, Master, please fuck us! Away to the door I strolled with a rum, past tits swelling purple and the occasional bum. The moon on the breast was a particular whore, shone light everywhere as I came to the door. When what to my wandering hands, eyes should appear, but eight reindeer furries all holding a beer. A fat bloke in rubber who looked a right dick, I knew in a moment he must be Saint Nick. His pants were red latex. His coat was the same. He pulled out a crop and addressed them by name. No cum sponge, no harlot, no Karja and slave. On Angel, on Missy, on T-girl and knave. From the tip of my cock to the hair on each ball. Now kiss away, lick away, suck away all. He grinned and he laughed as they fought over his fly. Then grunting and sweating, he looked up to the sky. And to the top of the house, St. Nicholas flew. Furries and beers and all the toys too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard through the ceiling, prancing and pawing and screaming and squealing. I drank down my rum and was turning around, and out of the chimney he came with a bound. He was still dressed in latex from his head to his foot, and was cursing his beer with the half full of soot. He had a girl on his cock who was gasping for air, and the gifts from his sack had been spilled here and there. Dildos and handcuffs and sillies with spikes, no doubt about it, he's in tune with our likes. Ropes in all colors and chained by the meter, and two branding irons with a gas-fired heater. Yikes. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and he fucked all the sluts with a quick little jerk, then poking a finger up the nearest Moore's tart. I coughed up a lung.
And to all a good night?
No. He leapt up the chimney and made to depart. He grabbed hold of a whip and gave the furries a flick, set one on his face and one on his dick. But I heard him exclaim, and he drove out of sight, Merry Triple Xmas to all, and have a fucking good night.
That's awesome.
Bravo.
That was very, very special. Thank you, Nare.
Yay, so that, a break. I won't say what we'll break, but we'll break something.
Saverin's
dad. Saverin, break Saverin.
Breaking Saverin, no!
And we're back. And this is a, we've picked out a item from AdamandEve.com tonight. This is good for the first timers, since we had a couple questions recently about getting your ass ready for your first time. So this is called My First Anal Explorer Kit. And it features...
comes with the mine pick, some torches, some cooked pork. It's like Minecraft, right?
Totally.
Watch out for creepers.
Two vibrating bullets for twice the butt fun. Secret. Scary. Butt fun. Waterproof and great for beginners. Take your booty for an ass-tastic ride with two hot black anal vibrators. Tease your tight pucker open with the easy penetrating slim 5-inch anal probe. Then go for a bigger, badder fun with the fat 4-inch rounded bullet. Both vibrators plug into a jack pin controller for immediate or simultaneous fun. Touch a button to send your rump shaking with 10 powerful functions. My first anal explorer kit. Dual black anti-anal vibrator kit. Anti-vibrator kit. That'd be bad.
It sucks with the vibration out of you. How does it even work?
Firm vibrators and black ABS. Anti-lock braking system?
The plastic.
Mm-mm. Oh. Silky smooth surface for great slide. 10 functions of vibration, pulsation, and escalation. All right. Vibes have 20-inch cords, so yay. Separate on-off and function buttons, two AA batteries sold separately. And they're waterproof. Become an anal conquistador the easy way.
God.
This sexy little anal kit contains two unique anal vibrators and one simple controller for boundless booty pleasure. Are there any other terrible anal-related puns here? Oh, no matter which of these hot anal vibrators is teasing your ass, you can use the other vibrator at the same time for pussy play, ball stimulation, or clitoral teasing. Flexible folks can even share the love. Or if you want to focus, just disconnect one of the vibrators and use the other anal sex toy alone. So, yeah, it's forever kind of like a two for the price of one kind of thing. One is kind of slim, and then one is a thicker butt plug. So these are $26.95, but if you use our coupon code KNOT, KNOT, brings it down to $13.48 and free shipping. And if
spend
you
a
just,
few bucks more and you get the free gift.
Yep, it's like, yeah, spend $17 more and you get like two free gifts, I think it said. So.
Yeah, the...
So there you go. My first anal explorer kit at AdamandEve.com.
Yeah!
So, somebody read an email.
Maybe Shiva's turn.
Okay.
Okay.
As I serenaded you with my magical...
sexy voice.
Yes.
All right, let's see what we got. Exactly. We really only have one.
Oh, the other one says this shouldn't be read on air.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, so this is the last one. It's kind of a weird timing, but whatever.
Well, we can always ramble. How to gift wrap Yif. I was thinking about cross-dressing. Do I look like I might be able to? Real hair, by the way, not a wig. My pick is attached file. I always let my hair fall on my left in my left eye. I'm half blind. My fourth question last week was never answered. If I'm in a box, how do I get my mate to open it? He's the kind of guy who does not like to open a gift the sender is not there. Warning, alcohol will induce nudity. Bring on the vodka. I guess he attached a picture. Maybe. I think he... there's several good sites on doing, like, drag, and not just drag, but actual crossplay.
Being a trap.
Being a trap.
Anyone can do drag. It takes talent to be a trap.
So, maybe. I mean, it probably needs a little bit of makeup and workover, but... and the right clothes, but possibly. How to get
wax
your...
wax the stash.
I don't know. How would you get your mate to open a box if they're the type not to open it if somebody's not there?
Well, if there's a giant-ass box on their porch...
with a bow.
With a bow that says, open me, they're not going to leave it sitting there, hopefully. And you could do it all Metal Gear style by just having the box on top of you. So he lifts it up and you, you know, play the... exclamation point, you know what noise? The
well, if he's going to be naked or dressed sexily, he's not going to do this on the porch.
Well,
okay. Then
especially if he lives in like North Dakota or something and there's like 10 feet of snow outside. But the cross pay would be easier because his balls would shrivel up into his pelvis.
I'm just thinking, it's like if it's at a party or you're at his house, there's a giant box and I can't find my boyfriend. Gasp, where could he be? I guess I won't open my Christmas presents.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm
forever alone. He pours gasoline on all the presents and lights them on fire and runs away crying. And you're inside the box, but you don't know.
Oh, my God.
And then Christmas is ruined. No.
And then 30 years later, he comes back in a mask. He's like, I was once a man. And he's seeking revenge.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, G.I. Joe Retribution comes out sometime. I set a trailer for it. I think it's like next year.
It comes out in like May or March. It was supposed to come out this year.
Yeah.
But they pushed it back in favor of Battleship.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a bold move. Normally fortune favors the bold, but not this time. So, your advice, Saverin. Unless this burning.
This is obviously a thing that works great in furry stories and in porno, but which the furry stories are generally porno, a little bit harder to pull off in real life. You're going to need some collaborators on this, people that will work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just get him in the room and then pop out, like, surprise.
Yeah. You know, otherwise you might be waiting for a while, and he's like, where the... You hear him start saying some choice words about you and why the fuck are you late? And there's this giant present and he's going to feel bad if it's not something nice. Or you got
where the fuck is my little fuckhole? Why ain't that bitch here?
I see this giant ass box. Bitch, one of them fuck plushies.
Okay, it better not be my wife, Twilight Sparkle. No. Oh, somebody made a plushie of my waifu. My boyfriend doesn't know about Twilight Sparkle and I'm so happy for that, and I talk to myself, and I think I'm alone.
Okay.
So, yeah, you're going to have to plan this out. It'll be cute and not necessarily the most spontaneous, but I'm sure he'll appreciate it. Because then you can fuck under the light of a Christmas tree.
Mm.
If you have lube handy. But, I mean, who doesn't keep lube near their Christmas tree?
So do you have lube, like, secreted somewhere over there that I should avoid?
If it's a real Christmas tree, you can just grab a handful of sap.
Not a good idea.
Somewhere Avery is just, his head is just exploding.
That would be funny. It's like you have, like, the little pull tab, the ready strips or whatever, for, like, hanging pictures, mm-hmm. and you've attached, like, condoms and mini lube packages to them. So you're just like, hey baby, I hung this on the tree for you.
Nice.
You just unwrap it. Bam, there you go.
All your Christmas ornaments are condoms. All different colors. And they glow in the dark so they look pretty when the lights are out.
I will admit, it is nice. And going just to the Christmas tree, we don't have anything like that on our tree, but it is nice just to have it glowing at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Christmassy.
Yeah, you see this glowing that I'm doing right now? Yeah, not a lot of people can do this.
Here, it's like Twitter. Hey, Avery Dragon, is Christmas tree sap a good lube and silicone toy safe?
Did you do that?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
I think the answer is going to be, oh, God.
No. Man, it's funny to do it under the Dotcast account.
You can retweet it.
Yeah. That's what's up.
So that would be a nice Christmas gift.
Christmas sap lube.
Yeah. Totally. I think somebody linked me a picture of bacon lube.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
It's like lube that's flavored or scented like bacon.
Make your meat taste like the best meat.
Christ.
So, what are you guys doing for actual Christmas?
We're going to go see respective families, either the night before or day of.
The grand tour?
Pretty much. All three
We're going to go over to Tieran's parents' place like we do every year. And then... sorry, I just saw a funny tweet from a friend of mine. And then I think before Christmas, we're going to have friends visiting. They're actually visiting from Seattle, but they're flying down to Austin to visit family, and then they're going to come up here. Mm-hmm. And that's on, like, the Friday or the Saturday. And then, yeah, Christmas Day, Tieran and I will go over to his parents' place, and we'll exchange gifts, and we'll do Christmas dinner there. And, you know, that's always, frankly, a real good time.
Yeah.
It's a real nice family tradition that we've got now where, you know, where they really welcomed me in as part of the family. So
that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, at first it's just Christmas stuff, you know, get presents and get presents. And it's one of those things that, you know, like Panther and I, because we buy each other gifts throughout the year, and, or if there's something that we really want, we just buy it because we're not poor. We just kind of go and we buy stuff. We spend all the money on our families for Christmas.
We have there's a rule in my household where November and December, you're not allowed to buy anything for yourself. I forgot to tell Sarah about this. So we went to Walmart and he says, "Oh, I'm going to buy Brave." Picks up Brave, puts it in the cart. And I'm like, "Motherfucker." It's like, I forgot to tell you, I was going to get you that for Christmas. But I forgot to tell you the rule about don't buy anything for yourself. And now I can't tell you to put it back because I would ruin surprise. So go ahead and buy that. But I was going to get it for you for Christmas. He's like, "Oh."
But now I get one less Christmas present. No.
Basically. So we have a rule of don't buy anything for yourself in November, December. That's not like socks or necessities.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Cock sock.
Usually my Christmas gifts are stuff that... They would not ordinarily buy for themselves. Either it's too expensive or something off the wall for their interests that they wouldn't have otherwise thought of. Sarah's actually really hard to buy for because he's not a very materialistic person. He likes doing things, which is hard to wrap and put underneath the tree. So I'm actually having a really hard time buying anything for him this year.
He likes doing things. That's something you can, like, I got this Bad Dragon Double XL for him.
Well, there's that, but...
He'll be doing things, like sitting on my cock. There's also hard
to wrap that and put it underneath the tree and open it at my parents' house in front of everybody.
Hey.
So naughty gifts are one thing. I meant, like, family-friendly, opening it out in front of everybody type gifts. Because naughty gifts are always... you know, acceptable. But as far as, like, going places, doing things...
So I can't open my my chance until Christmas. I have to wrap it and put it under the tree.
Open in front of your parents, yes.
No, I'll just have it here.
Wanted to be a horse farmer. I got a piece of one. It's a start.
Well, see, that's how you should give me my... the thing that you still haven't given me from my birthday back in June.
Yes. Yes, he should.
Yeah.
Wrap it, put it under my tree.
Rainbow Dash wrapping paper.
They sell it.
I know.
Wait, they do?
Yeah, there's pony wrapping paper.
Oh, I gotta get that.
And you'll be proud
of
me. I actually went out and bought a bunch of toys for Toys for Tots, and I got a couple ponies to put into the box.
Yay,
ponies. So I gave away Rarity and I think Applejack for Toys for Tots.
Okay.
It's the only two they had.
Yeah, they were doing the BOGO thing there.
Some kid will appreciate it.
And, well, of course, I'm going out to my parents. There's going to be like 25 to 30 people at my dad's Christmas. Because,
oh, goodness.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Well, it's like everybody's coming for Christmas and everybody is coming.
I think we might end up doing Christmas Day Asian over up in this side of things.
Oh, no, we're... as in going to, like, Chinese food?
Yeah, as in going to, like, New New or something for Christmas Day, because they're open. They don't care.
Fa, 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 fa.
Merry, merry, you like my... You want my Diet Coke?
I was just thinking of a Christmas story where he was trying to teach his staff to sing Christmas carols. You don't remember that?
Yeah, I do. Okay. We're going to have a big feast. Apparently, I'm going to be helping my sister set up a gingerbread house, which is basically put together the skeletons and then children and frosting.
Skeletons?
Well, just like the walls and everything else like that and put it up. Oh. Then we'll let it loose with children and frosting and candy.
You're going to unleash gingerbread skeletons upon the children of your family? Don't you like them?
That would actually be kind of cool.
We're going to raise a gingerbread barn and then we're going to burn it down.
Gingerbread haunted house would be kind of neat.
Yeah.
So,
gingerbread is outlawed during the non-December months of the year.
It was tasty.
Gingerbread TARDIS.
That would actually be kind of cool.
New console room for the holiday special.
I know.
Oh, dude, it's on the walls.
So this is our last show. This show is our last one for 2012.
12. 13. We'll be back.
No, this is the last show for 2012. Next year is 2013.
I lost my year. You leave me alone.
So this was the last show for 2013. This is a very extended break. We can expect zero listeners once we start back up.
Yeah.
The only people that will download it if we wait that long will be people who forgot to delete us from iTunes.
They'll
be like, these fuckers, who are they?
So since we won't be back until after New Year's, any resolutions to think on?
Fuck that.
No. I've got plans that I need to do, and I've got shit that needs to be done, but I'm not going to resolve.
Well, not resolutions. I meant, like, plans. I mean, big things to do for 2013.
Oh, big things to do. Shit, yes, son. Going to FC in January. Ho!
Yeah?
I don't know why that's a thing. Well, yeah, we're going to FC like I do every year with the company. So I should talk about this a little bit. So we have some exciting new releases coming out. So we're publishing Summerhill by K.M. Hirasaki.
Yeah, I saw that.
Under his slave name. But he's talked extensively about it on Unsheathed. And we're like, I'm super chuffed about that because it's a cool sci-fi book and I want to do more sci-fi books.
Mm-hmm. Has he been working on that forever?
3 years. He boasted about it. It's been 3 years.
Okay.
Damn.
And now
not forever, but fairly long.
It'll be ready. Oh, sometimes books take a while to get out there. But, you know.
Got to massage them just right.
That's right. Yeah, it takes some editing and some tweaking, but it's finally ready to go.
That's cool. Good.
I'm doing, Buck and I are doing typo passes through it just to make sure everything is spot on. Cover's going to be by Kamui, so that'd be pretty cool.
Like, oh, wait, I'm sorry. The recipient of anal sex, it needs to be referred to as the fox. But it's a human. No, it's not.
Not anymore. Other things we've got going are Kadath just released a digital version of his newest comic, Coffee Meat, which is a straight sex scene in public. It's Puzzle the Giraffe.
I remember seeing that on FA. Come Through FA, the teaser pages.
Yep, so he's selling the digital version already, and we have the print edition. So we'll be bringing that out at FC. We've also got another novella called Indigo Rain. It's by Watts Martin. He used to write a lot more back in the day. He's done some short stories since. It's part of the Cupcakes line. And this one's straight. Main protagonist is a female raccoon, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. She's a dancer. It's kind of hot. Artwork is by Sabretooth Ermine. So the cover's really cool. We're going to be releasing the cover here.
Sabretooth stuff.
Yeah. She did the cover. She did interior illos for it. So that's pretty cool.
Stuff. I'm just thinking, Puzzle in public. She's not a small character.
No.
Well, there's a twist. What a twist! I'll tell you about it off the air. I don't want to spoil it, but there is.
It's
very hot sex and some nice cum shots, and it's all good.
Sabretooth Ermine actually does some really good human portraiture. She's done. Supernatural's got a character in it called Sam, and she's done some really good portraits of him.
Oh, okay.
Like, really, almost very realistic. I was really impressed.
Cool.
I wonder how many more times I can say really.
She did the artwork for Winter Games as well.
That.
The cover of Winter Games turned out really great. I really like that cover design for that. So, we've actually got a lot more stuff on the docket. There's There's one. This is one that Tieran has been working on, so I don't remember it. It's called Tanuki Tales. Mm-hmm. It's like one. It's going to be one of our magazine-sized art gallery books, and I think it might be Gaspacho that's mm-hmm. doing that. They're all Tanukis, basically.
Okay.
Pinups, comics, stuff.
Big balls.
Nudity, balls, cocks. Balls. Yes. The balls are actually kind of average size, most of it.
Then how are they Tanuki? God, they're just raccoons at that point.
I don't know, because they're naked and they have dicks.
Unacceptable.
I don't know. I haven't read the whole thing yet. It's, I guess it's one that Tieran has been heading up that particular project. Yep. And
he's got a load of good stuff for FC.
Yeah, so that's already, I mean, we're going to have like probably 5 or 6 at least new items, a couple other novels. Lots of stuff in the works. That's just for FC. And then we got FF and FWA, like, immediately after that, so.
Yes.
I'm already looking at a pretty busy year, because in March, if that local PonyCon goes through, I'll be going to that to sell some pony comics. Mm-hmm. And then AllCon, the GOH is Sylvester McCoy, so Seventh Doctor and Radagast the Brown, so the Hobbit will have just been out, you know, 4 months back at that point. So I last saw him like 15 years ago, so I'd like to kind of go and see him again, go to Q&A. It'd be kind of cool.
I'll probably be going to that AllCon just to see Sylvester McCoy, because I loved him as the Doctor.
Awesome.
So.
It'd be good times.
I want to go get into the burlesque again. Titties. So many titties.
Maybe I should actually go to that. It was just so crowded looking last year.
It was okay.
I don't know. I didn't go last year. You went the year before.
I was like, tits.
Whatever year I was there. Like, I think tits. Last year it clashed with Foie, I think, last time.
Boobs are great. I just didn't find it that titillating.
Titillating. Did you mean to do that?
That's the correct word to use.
Well, yeah. You see, the thing is that I'm not a boobs guy. You know, even with chicks, I'm more of an ass aficionado. You know, and big tits don't really do anything for me. You know, just smaller tits would be fun to play with on a girl. You know, flat as a board, easy to nail. That works. Carpenter's dream.
Athlete tits.
Yeah.
I just like all tits, from small tits to moderately large tits, not super large. You know, there's an upper limit to my ooh factor.
Yeah, if they're too big, you risk a sprained thumb.
What?
Weird science.
Okay.
Movie quote that I'm the only one old enough to get.
No, I've seen Weird Science. I just can't remember that line.
They're deciding on what size boobs to give the girl. Oh. And they grew to go, no, too big. Anything bigger than whatever, you're risking a sprained thumb.
Okay.
I'm easily abused. Okay. So, yeah, so that's FC. Come and see us. We'll be in the dealer's room. Looks like next to Sofa Wolf again. So all your book buying needs will be right there. So that'll be nice. And we'll bro fist those guys over right over the tables.
Yeah. I'll be there.
Yeah, that's right. You'll be a fuck as well. FC.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, because it's looking like FC and then Fiesta and then maybe Foie, maybe New York City.
Yeah, Fiesta's looking again. Really good. I mean, we got some of our pre-reg numbers and they are significantly up for this year.
I heard that.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a really good con this year. Hotel's selling out nicely, so if you're a listener and you want to come to Fiesta and you want to stay in this hotel, you might want to get your hotel soon.
Yeah, pre-reg now!
Well, we're starting to get into the pre-reg now, you know, push. So
when does pre-reg close?
It's January 31st. So we're almost to that final push.
Okay.
So lots of good stuff planned this year. I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah, it will be good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Sarah will give you a hand job if you pre-reg. Hand job, not guaranteed.
Satisfaction, not guaranteed.
You call that a hand job?
Couple of tugs, and you're like, okay, I'm done.
And I'm, looks like you're not coming today. Mm-hmm. And then if you come after like two tugs, I'm like, ugh, get laid.
They're just happy to see you and really, really excited.
Oh my god, I love podcasts. I want to come all over you. Ah.
Jeez. So, anything else tonight, guys?
Nope. I think that's about it.
Yep.
So that wraps
up Thursday night in
2013.
We're done at a fairly reasonable hour. It's 10:21.
So, on that note,
we'll see you guys after the first of the year. And if the end of the world happens, well, then you sure won't.
So. But then you'll probably have bigger things to worry about.
No, you'll be dead.
Yeah.
You ain't got shit to worry about.
True. Because you're dead. Real.
Yo. So on that note, good night.
And big balls.